Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Easter Sunday night local voter education program. Fort Worth has become the 12th largest city in the country, with over a million inhabitants and 90% do not vote in the local elections. We hope to change that by sharing information that is vital to us. Like who is in charge of the city's $1.7 billion budget, and who we are really voting for, that is what we are hoping to bring to you. And with that, our guest tonight are candidates for Fort Worth Mayor.
Hello there, my name is Bob Willoughby. I'll be our host for the night here. And before we get started here, I'm going to give a quick update on some events coming up, and I'll run them again at the halftime again to advertise this a little bit here. Let's see, April the 10th, that's Monday, that's tomorrow. Candidates for District 5 at the Hanley Community Center, that is hosted by the Hanley Neighborhood Association. That is from 6 p.m. to 7:10. That's on April the 10th at the Hanley Community Center. Also, April the 12th, Thursday, Rocket Ship. It's from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Dennis Duncan Elementary, 3520 East Berry Street, Fort Worth. I believe that'll have the candidates there, too, as well from, I don't know what, a variety of candidates, maybe at that one there. April the 15th, this is United Fort Worth, District 6. They're holding one at the Southwest Community Center, 1 to 3 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., 6300 Welch Avenue. Also on April the 20th, Thursday, United Fort Worth, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Martin Luther King Center. This is for District 5. That's 5565 Truman Drive. And there's one more by United Fort Worth. That's April 22nd, 1 to 3 p.m. And did I mention the time for the Martin Luther King? Is at 6:30 to 8:30. I think I did mention the time. Okay. April 22nd is 1 to 3 p.m. So the T.A. Sims Elementary, 3500 Crenshaw Avenue. And let me tell you, United Fort Worth had the best questionnaire that I had to fill out that so far. I turned down three that were sent my way by different organizations that I didn't even bother to fill out. But I like the one with United Fort Worth. It has some great questions, and I am looking forward to that meeting on April the 22nd, the Martin Luther King, and you should be looking for any of these. They got three of them, one for District 6, one for District 11. That's the that'd be District 11, April 22nd, from 1 to 3 at the Sims Elementary. That'd be District 11 there they're covering. And April 20th, that's our district, District 5, and April 15th, District 6 they're covering. So that's United Fort Worth. Look them up on Facebook. They are doing a great job, I think. So, okay, with that, so far we have got one of the candidates online for mayor, and also I need to give an update here real quick that I got an email from Allison Kennedy here. I sent me an email and said, I will not be able to participate in your radio program tonight because of a family emergency. I'm sorry to inform you so late, but this just came up. Sincerely, Allison Kennedy. Well, we hope everything will turn out all right, whatever that emergency is. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm hoping that it'll, you know, not be as bad or that it comes out okay. But apparently Allison will not be here tonight, and that's so... So far we have, looks like we have Jennifer on the line here. I'm going to open her line up. Let's see if I can do this. I haven't done this in a while. I'm a little rusted here. Let's open it up and see if this works. Jennifer, is this you? Have we got you on the line? Well, let's try this way. Jennifer?
Bob, can you hear me? Hi.
Yeah, I got you. I'm just hitting the wrong button. Y'all have to deal with me just a little bit. I haven't done this in a while, and I'm hitting the wrong button. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you perfectly. How are you?
The same. Underpaid and overwork. So.
Well, happy Easter. Happy Easter. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. And what we're going to do is go ahead. We'll start off here with you. We've got other ones coming on the line a little bit, but we'll start off. And you can take 4 or 5 minutes here and what your platform is and all that and have at it. And I'm going to have a cup of coffee, okay?
Okay, perfect, perfect. All right. Hey, guys. I'm Jennifer Castillo. I'm so excited to be on this show. I'm excited to collaborate and answer any questions that anybody has. So I am running for mayor of Fort Worth, so one of 5 people on the ballot. I am an Air Force veteran. I'm a small business owner here in Fort Worth. I'm also a mom of 3 and really looking to make some change here, you guys. Honestly, we are going through a lot post-COVID. You know, times are tough for a lot of us, you know, businesses, economy, family, health, medical sicknesses. So really, it's time to bring unity back into our community. It's time to make a change. It's really time to move forward in a different direction, especially as we head into 2024 with these unpredictable presidential elections coming up. We have no idea what we're going to expect, but either way, we need to make sure that Fort Worth stays solid no matter what. So I'm excited to be here. My career has been in real estate. I've also coached entrepreneurs. I've been a business consultant. So when it comes to strategy and my approach for the city, you know, I have a very specific way that I approach problems and the way that I'm going to implement solutions. So that's how I'm trying to use my skill set coming into the position. I really want to collaborate with everybody. I want to make sure that we get full community involvement. It's so important to me. And I thank Bob for giving us the opportunity, and especially Bob for being so vocal with what the issues are going on in Fort Worth. It is so crucial for the community to be involved and to make sure that their voice is heard as well, that they matter, and all parts of our city are heard and spoken for. So that's my primary concern coming into the position, is making sure all of our community, all of us have a seat at the table. We need to tackle our affordable housing. We need to make sure that our economy is right and make sure everybody has the ability to move forward and to be prosperous and to thrive. And with that, you know, we need to take a deep look at our property taxes, our, you know, housing affordability. How are we going to make sure that we work with the community, work with developers, work with people, stakeholders, so that we can create opportunities for residents so that they can become homeowners? We need to tackle the crime rate, you guys. I mean, week after week, we're hearing about different situations going on, you know, in our city and in the surrounding cities, and this has got to stop. It is getting out of control. We cannot let this happen here in our backyard. We can't let any more of our community, any more of our children be victims of violence. So I'm looking to do anything, whatever it takes, to tap into our community, to make sure that we have the resources, to make sure we have all hands on deck so that we're here together, united, so we put an end to this, so this doesn't happen. Bob, are you still with me? Grab your coffee.
I'm still here. I can. I'm going to open the line up and let Adrian in, and we'll give him a few minutes here to go through. Okay, Jennifer? And we'll be back.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to go ahead and mute my line.
Okay. Let's see. Adrian, have we got
hey,
you
Bob,
on?
Hey, Bob. What's going on? Yeah, I'm on, Bob. What's going on?
It's going. Good to have you on.
Boy.
Appreciate you calling in. The only person so far who hadn't called in is Mr. Bowen hadn't called in, but I don't know. You know, I've sent out plenty of notices and everything. And I don't know if you caught the part, Adrian, where Allison had a family emergency and had to bail out.
Mm-hmm.
Without notice. So, but I hope everything's okay there. We'll hope for that very much. And but anyway, take your time. We got plenty of time here. Taking 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, and just go over kind of what your platform and who you are.
It might be less than that, but hey.
Okay.
I'm just ready to have a conversation with tonight. But Adrian Devine Smith. Like Jennifer stated, one of the candidates seeking to become Fort Worth's next mayor. My platform or my direction of what I purpose and tell people is, first and foremost, I am native to Fort Worth. I am a I haven't been plugging this as much as I should, but I could take a page from Jennifer's book. I am an Army veteran, so had opportunity to serve in our Army. More or less, I just have a desire to serve the people of Fort Worth. I think our city is, we have a great city, but our greatness has been challenged over these last couple of years. I know that the current council we have haven't been the best. And we don't want to take this opportunity or this election year for granted, because the direction we are going in is one that's troubling. But more or less, I just want to focus on trying to place of moving us forward in a perspective that represents all of Fort Worth. Some key points that I have found to be of a concern to me. One is the childhood literacy rate, and then the current direction that the education is going within Fort Worth. Police and community relationships, we know those are still not the best, you know, so seeking to figure a way to bridge those relationships. And I know that the Police and Community Advisory Committee is one priority of mine, you know. I think about the equitable development with environmental considerations, considering what's been going on in the southeastern sector of Fort Worth, the east, southeast, anything that's east of downtown. We know that those areas have been affected the most by neglect and the just lack of investments that I say should be reflective of all of Fort Worth. The overspending that's been just, it's like, I don't know. We got to get the spending under control. It's we have a council who I feel just don't get it. It's either they don't get it. So I feel like we need to usher in, not just in the mayoral seat, but those seats that are running with opposition. We need to try to usher in new representation for this upcoming election year and going forward. We have three contestants who are running we have three incumbents who are running unopposed. However, they can be removed out of office. But nonetheless, again, Adrian Devine Smith, I'm just seeking to make a difference in whatever way I can. And I know the position, I don't want people to get caught up in the position. See, it's the position that people get caught up in and think that the mayor is the one who's going to be the one that, you know, makes all these decisions. But we need, the mayor is just the tip of the iceberg. We need strong leadership across the whole dais of this council, considering we are adding two new council seats to the council. So, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this to be where I am. I'm grateful for all the forms that have taken place thus far. We have had a great, great, great host of organizations who have taken the time out to allow for us to just let the people know, the people of Fort Worth know why we are so passionate about this current moment we're in. So I thank you, Bob. Thank you for this opportunity. I know regardless of what comes May 6th, we still got to move things forward. So, again, I'm here to stay.
That's good. And I got to thank both of y'all for y'all's time in this service, too, okay? I appreciate that a lot. Well, Okay, then. Well, let's get over to a little bit of the topic area here. And one of the things I've talked about is, well, my biggest thing is our right being taken away to speak at city council meetings. And after the meeting with Maddie Parker, what we came away with was that she took it away because people didn't care. And the other reason she took it away was that it makes it easier for them. So I don't believe that's quite the truth, but I can accept that, okay? And it's not really right in a way, too, is that what the city council has done over the last few decades has demoralized people, not include them in things, not educate them, and do not, you know, reach out to try to get them involved over the last several decades. So we got generation after generation growing up that's not I hear something going on, and I don't know what it is, but it's okay.
But, is it me, Bob?
I don't know. Are you having a are you eating supper? Oh, there we go.
No, I am. I'm outside. I'm outside by the waterfalls at Clear Fork by the avocado. So there's music.
Okay.
There might be me. Here, I'll mute myself, and then whenever it's time for me to speak, I'll come back on.
That's okay. Very good. Very good. It's very good. But anyway, they took it away.
Well, can I make a comment to what you said?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, I mean, so here, what's going on right now is just appalling to me. The fact that citizens don't have the ability to go out and voice their concerns. What kind of government are we when we don't let our people go out and actually contribute to what's going on in our community? And if we are not heard, then we're not going to have any participation in the direction of our city. So for me, that's appalling. And you know, I really commend you for all your efforts and working to get, you know, the speaking times come back on. I mean, and it is appalling, you know, 3 minutes and then, you know, everybody's sitting on the dais just next. I mean, they're just not interested. They neglect all the speakers. You know, there's really no concern for what's going on, no emotion. And it's sickening. It truly is. And the fact that, you know, people say that they don't care, well, that's because we're not meeting them where they're at. That information is not easily disseminated. They don't easily have access. Nobody's going to sit and go on YouTube and watch 2-3 hours of a city council meeting, but then they're on their social media apps, they're on TikTok, and they watch, you know, a minute clip it of the highlight of the event, and they're appalled. They are absolutely disgusted with what's going on. So it's not like that information is easily presented to them. But if they knew, if more people knew what was actually going on, they would be outraged, just as we are.
I think that's true, too. That's what we're trying to do is get more out there, and it's going to take some time. A lot of people have been conditioned, though, not to get involved, and that's it. And what I've learned over the last 13 years, the picture I'm seeing, is that we're really coming to more government control and less people. And that's the whole idea of what I got from Maddie Parker, is government control. And like I said, they took away our right to speak, and I put in a paper that next they'd be taking away our right to vote. And if you want to sample that, well, just go back and look at the raise, what they had in there. They had written in there that they would get automatic raises, which would take away our right to vote at that. So these people are looking to isolate us. That's why they changed the name to leadership, too. Everything's to make them on a pedestal and us the servants. That's the whole frame of the whole thing and cut us out. And they're doing a beautiful job at it. But the pay raise thing, here's the thing that got, and here's what's happening. How many people voted for the pay raise? Well, what you'll get from the city, what you'll see is 47% was for the pay raise. That was a $70,000 pay raise for Maddie Parker after being in office for 10 months. And what did she do in 10 months? She reduced their workload to half, to 2 council meetings a month from 4 a month, took away our right to speak, and then asked for a $70,000 raise with automatic, and then take away your right to vote on them to the raise, to have automatic votes, okay? So she got 13,693 votes. That was for that. That was 47%. But now when you see 47%, you might be thinking everybody would get the idea that the city, 47% of the city voted that way is what you'd feel like, and 53% against is what it feels like. But it's not. It was 13,693 for it, 15,014 against it. Look how close that was. Just a difference of 1,321 people. And that's all it takes, a difference that they'd be changing something in our city that affects all of us. all the other people out there, the other 97, that's only 3% of the people voting on this. 3%, 97% did not even participate because, like you said, they're not getting the word out. They don't want people to know. And that's how they almost get away with this stuff. So we got to get people out there to know what's going on because we had a lot more in that voting, you know. But that's it, about 3%. And it was only by 1,321 people. And that means they would have took away the ride the whole city voting on their races from there on, the whole city.
Hey, Bob.
But go ahead, Adrian. Step in there. Go ahead. I need a coffee break.
So just to reflect on it, the 2 points you spoke to, you said out of that meeting, she stated that, and I'm glad you got it on record, although she didn't want to record it, but, hey, you were there, and we know you had another witness there. But, again, Bob, we know this is an election year, so most political people in positions, they usually start politicking, you know, doing things that they wouldn't normally do just so it can appear that they are being transparent. And once the dust settles, they'll go back to doing what they normally do. So let me say this. The people don't care, right? She said the people don't care.
Well, that's what you're saying.
So, I'm talking about based on the meeting you had. You said that she stated that the people didn't care, right? Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't up down
my
there
thing
to,
is this,
to protest.
My thing is this. It's not that people don't care. It's that this position, I mean, you all have made it to where, it, like you said, it works for you all. That's why my main stance and my main focus now going forward, and I have been saying it, I'm trying to do my best to encourage people and speak to people's minds and hearts to get involved, start coming down there, because a lot of the people do not know what's going on, and they think it's because you voted that you have fulfilled your duty or whatever it is when you vote, they said you fulfilled. But no. See, those people on that dais, a lot of their livelihoods are not affected by the decisions, the stuff they vote in, or vote for or vote against. Their livelihoods still remain the same. It's the people on the other side of those votes whose livelihoods are going to be affected one way or the other. You know, depending on your economical background, where you're from, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of those people on the dais, they do not care because their livelihoods are not affected by the things that they're doing on that dais. As also, it makes it easy for them. Of course, it's like we have people who are more concerned about this modern, can't say the word, sorry for butchering the word, the modernization of everybody's trying to be modern, you know, this new way of doing things, you know, faster, we're younger, faster, we know it all, we got the, you know. So my thing is this: people do care. First of all, let's talk to the point. People do care. We need to do whatever we need to do whatever we can to get more people involved, because again, at the end of the day, this is about people's livelihood. And as far as making it easy for them, they always talk. You think about this, Bob. You talk about the people who voted for and against the pay raise. You notice the council only focuses their energy, their time and attention on the ones who are coming down there, quote unquote, causing the most ruckus. You know what I'm saying? And they always say when they preference their talking points, they always say one or two or three individuals are doing this. So let me ask the question. If two or three individuals or whatever the number is that they have in their heads is causing all of this concern or these changes they're doing, what would it be if we get 30 doing that weekly, 40, 100, 1,500, you know, I'm just putting numbers out there. What would happen then if we get them chambers of four week in and week out, and we get people in there who are speaking to their council regarding the decisions they're making and holding them accountable? What would we get?
You know what?
They're taking advantage of the moment because they don't feel like, they just don't care. So they're taking advantage of the moment because because we have allowed,
job.
And I say, when,
we're not,
when I say
yeah.
we have allowed, when I say we, I'm talking about the people who,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, vote, but they don't, that's all they do is vote.
Combination of things, from being dummied down, from too many endorsements, trusting endorsements and stuff, instead of finding out for yourself. So, yeah, and you're spot on what you're talking about. And my thing is, too, like about after the election, it doesn't matter how it comes out. My thing is that if you could just get 1%, that's 1,000 people, 1% of the population, that would use their phone. They don't even have to go down to meetings. They don't have to go down to meetings or anything. If you got a 1% army that
yeah.
you could use, and if you want to take one issue and have everybody call that one day and keep calling, they get the line busy, call again. Tie that phone up all day long with 1,000 people calling on that one issue, asking that one question, and I think that would kind of start shaking them. And that wouldn't be hard to do. It just can't
just
get the people motivated. But
yes, definitely.
Go ahead. Huh? Go ahead. Repeat that.
Oh, sorry. I said
Jennifer?
Just to create traction. I said to create traction. Yes, you need something. To create traction, create synergy, make sure that their voice is heard. They have an opportunity to come mm-hmm. out there. Even if they can't come out to the city council meetings, you know, they have work, they have family, whatever, they still have an opportunity.
Well, we could do a phone slam is what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
After the election, I'm planning on after the election, no matter how it goes, whatever, I'm planning on putting a studio upstairs and doing some more work with this Blog Talk Radio, maybe advertising on some billboards and try to wake it up a little bit more if I can. I know sometimes the phone lines have lit up. We have certain people here, and sometimes they don't light up. And I guess it's, I don't know, but I think it's a great tool. You know, from the comfort of your home with your phone, you can actually talk to the, you know, learn stuff about your city for free, you know, that you're not getting from channel, you know, your local media and your local government, because that's what they've done. They took away everything from us, and that's what they're doing. They're isolating us completely. That's why they took away our right to speak. That's why they took away we got 3 channels on Spectrum Charter TV, and they have a lot of dead time on them. And we used to have the right to have independent shows on there, like the Women Lead of Voters and stuff like that, to get information out. And the council decided to take all that away, and all they want on there is just government. So it's mostly dead. Crane does a show on there. You may see the council meetings or some Sony meetings, but there's a lot of dead time on 3 channels of TV there that cost a lot of money if you was to go out and buy that we could be using to try to get people more involved. And what's going on. But they don't want us to. All we got to do is have the policy change. So if we had 1,000 people willing to call city council on a certain day saying change the policy back to independent programming on our channels. And they did that all day long. And they got that. I think. Now, that wouldn't be hard for people to do. And just be a range day. You don't have to leave your home. You got your phone with you all day long. And have it on speed dial. Hit that and just put in your word. That's it. And if 1,000 people did that, it can make a difference, I think. I don't know. If that's, I'm willing to try anything, okay? If anybody got a better idea, but we can with the people because we got the power. We just had to get it organized and willing to motivate it to do it. And I'm not sure, you know, who knows how to do that or why, but we can do it. It's possible. So, but anyway, yeah. If y'all want to move on to another topic, would be, I was talking about the POA, the Firefighter Associations, and the Star Telegram. Does anybody favor those organizations?
I don't favor either of them because of the influence that they have on our elections. You know, most people base their votes, how they vote, based off of certain organizations. You know what I'm saying? We know police because everybody feels like they're so – you got a lot of people feel like they're pro-police, and then you got some people that feel like others are anti-police. You know, it's easy to say Police Officers Association endorses such and such. So immediately in some people's minds, okay, so the Fort Worth police, I love the police. they're supporting this candidate, I'm going to give that candidate my vote without even vetting that candidate. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with the Star Telegram. They're no different. They out of all the out of all the media organizations within Fort Worth, they're the only ones who are saying, hey, we want to talk with you all so we can determine who we're going to endorse. When we had these other forums that people, these platforms, other people invited us to, they let us know. When you come, the questions you will not have, you will not be privy to the questions. You will come, we will ask questions. We're not endorsing none of you. Basically, you just come and just to, you know, let people see you, hear you, and let the people decide. And I don't know much about the firefighters. You know, you said they do. I know you said they do endorse, but as far as first responders, you know, my salute to the fire department, because when it comes to first responders, we can depend on them being there. You know what I'm saying? We can depend on them being there, showing up and doing a job. Police, even outside of their endorsements, we still can't depend on them to show up when they need to show up. You know what I'm saying? So I have an issue with it, Bob. And for the record, yes, I'm not someone who would take any kind of campaign contributions from them, and I will hold their feet to the fire when it comes to you know, just whatever is being decided on down at City Hall.
Yeah, what it is, it's not nothing against the firefighters. I mean, our firefighters, it's the Firefighter Association.
Association,
just like
right,
the PLA.
Right.
That's who the problem is with. And I've talked to the president and vice president of the Firefighter Association, and I dislike him even more after I talked to him than before, the way he talks. But also, if you look at Maddie Parker, she received, well, they gave her $5,000. But yeah, they're giving money to candidates, and then the POA gave her, Maddie Park, I think $88,000. I think Manuel posted that on his Facebook, and that, so, and, you know, and Star Telegram, you know, and these
here's
two organizations.
Here's what's so astounding,
go ahead,
to me,
Jennifer,
Bob.
Go ahead.
So for a position that makes $30,000 a year, you have an organization who has a direct conflict of interest donating to a candidate's campaign fund. $88,000 for a $30,000 a year position. What perception does that give people?
Okay. You know, it's even worse than last time, Jennifer. She got $1 million last time for a $29,000 a year position. Go ahead, Jennifer. And what is your feelings on these organizations?
First of all, let's make a clear distinction between police officers and the police officer organization. Think that what it resonates to people is, first of all, the barrier to entry for new candidates coming in. Instead of really analyzing and vetting each candidate and asking themselves, who is the best person for this position, they're inclined to go with who they've already have ties with. You know, when I first started campaigning, I reached out to different organizations, different businesses, you know, just garnering support. And what I was met with, you know, some opposition, and people would tell me, Jennifer, you know, this is awesome. You know, you're doing a good thing. But honestly, I just cannot support you because of either ties that they had with our current incumbent or contracts that they had with the city of Fort Worth or some sort of agreement where they did not want to jeopardize that. So they were afraid to stand by me and support me, irregardless of where they sit politically. So when it comes to that regard, you know, I think it does an incredible disservice to our community and to really our you know, our structure of government, because it's really not impartial anymore. The whole point of this is to be impartial, to endorse a candidate that you believe is going to be the best candidate for the position to move the city forward, but that's not the case. It's about money.
Well, money and power on that, and you're right about that.
And Bob, you spoke to the POA, right? Now think about this. The POA, even the POA is divided. Because, well, let me say what I say, they divide. Because you have a police officer, former police officers association, and then you have the Black Police Officers Association. You have the Latino Police Officers Association. So, who are they truly representing within that department? You know what I'm saying? So they're divided amongst themselves within their department. You know what I'm saying? So Mm-hmm. Again,
well,
I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted by. I think we need leadership who's going to not allow their because regardless how you feel about those people on the dais, if you're working with them, we're working together, right? We're working to get to some kind of consensus on decisions we're making. You know what I'm saying? We can agree to disagree, but I would not sit up there and sit back and let somebody sit up there and threaten their livelihoods as the POA did with the three newly elected candidates. And I bring it up because it's important. They took their position to chastising the newly elected candidates when they went against an item, voted against something, which is their right because they were elected to make decisions on behalf of the city. They had a right to make a vote the way they voted, although it went in favor, still went in favor of quote-unquote law enforcement. Then the next day we had a follow-up from the former DH, I'm not going to say what their word is, use your minds, who's now the county commissioner, who put that open letter out against those three elected officials. You know what I'm saying? And that was really that's damning to their character, their reputation, and it threatens their livelihood. So as a leader, I would have denounced it, but we didn't hear no denouncement from our current mayor. She did not denounce it, but she has the energy to denounce something that was quote unquote said to have disparaged her character, you know, or her reputation. So I don't rock with that.
Yeah, I know. Well, my take on these three, the POA, the firefighters, and the Star Telegram, they all should be neutral. They shouldn't favor any candidates, and all that money they're spending, it should be into backing these meetings I'm advertising, like for the Hanley Neighborhood Association District 5 and the United Fort Worth meetings. They should be putting money. And here's the thing about the like the Hanley one we're going to tomorrow. Okay, there's no all they do is send out to the establishment the same people, and so they send their emails out to, and that's it. You don't see any signs out. You know, there's no marquees in front of these community centers, and I've yelled about that. These community centers already have a big marquee out front electronically, so when they have the Girl Scouts there or a neighborhood association there or a candidate there, you know, it should be on a marquee. There's no marquee. No, it's like a silent, secret little meeting, and it's only advertised through your city news or not even through the city news, hardly, I don't think, but through the email. And that of the city. So you mostly have just the insiders. That part of that group that voted yes for this for that money, that's the kind of people you wind up with there. So, but we need to reach outside people to grow more, you know. So these three organizations could be very helpful in that and changing the way the city's going by using that money or to my program or to a program like Carrie has, Let's Talk Fort Worth or whatever, you know. Any of these programs that's getting information out to the city, I mean, they're giving hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to these candidates. Let the people decide. Get them out of it. They should be neutral. Now, the Sierra Club, that's when I turned down they gave me one to fill out, a questionnaire. I turned down that one. Women Lead of Voters, I turned down theirs because I know they put non-responsive, but that's not true. I did fill it out. They sent back that they didn't like the way I answered question one. I sent back to them, well, that's my answer, you know. You shouldn't put non-responsive. You put because of censorship's why I'm not going to be on there. Because, you know, no one's going to tell me how to speak. They don't like it. That's just, you know, that's not right. So I don't support censorship, whatever, you know. And, I would have no problem if they came back and said, do you want to rephrase that before we print it? We think it might do you better to do it this way or that way, but we'll print it. I have no problem with that. But no, they just put no response because I didn't want to they didn't like the way I answered the question. I think because the question was, why am I running for office? And I said, because the councilmember, Gina Bivens, is not doing the job she took the oath to do. And they didn't like that answer, I don't think. But that's true. So, but anyway, I turned that one down. Definitely I turned down the Star Telegram. I didn't bother any of their things, the zoning, the Zoom meetings or any of that. I don't have anything to do with the Star Telegram. it's almost the same if the KKK was endorsing any of these people, okay? They wouldn't take that endorsement. But if you change the name of the KKK to the Kitty Lovers of Fort Worth, it would still be the dirty same people underneath that name, but then they could endorse, donate without any, you know. And that's what these organizations are really doing. They're just hiding under a good name, okay? The POA, the firefighters, and the Star Telegram. And I'd like to see that go back to, you know, back to like Star Telegram did in 2015. They used to publicize all the candidates. They interviewed all of them and publicized and let the people. It was right for 2015. Somewhere they changed to being a an endorsement paper, which now tells you who they think you should pick and not, you know, let you decide. So, let's see. Well, I'll tell you what, Jennifer, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob.
Okay.
Hello,
what would
I'm
be
here?
The number one? Okay. What would be your number one issue right now? What would be out of all? You know, to me, there's no shortage, but of issues. But what would be your number one issue?
Gosh, right now, I mean, you're asking me today. I would say the crime, because you know I've been talking to people all day, telling me what's going on in different parts of the city. You know, what happened a couple of days ago? What's going on in Arlington? The shooting in the schools. I mean, it's like every week we're having something new. You know, Adrian and I were at Dallas Morning News the other day having a interview with the newspaper, and you know, our incumbent is on there bragging about how our crime rate has gone down 13%. I'm just like, in what area? What part of town are you talking about? Because that's not what is actually going on. I mean, have you been out to the streets, out to the other parts of Fort Worth and seen what actually is happening? So that really is a huge concern for people right now, because their safety is at risk.
So what do you think you'd do about crime? What would be a suggestion?
So number one, we need to change the narrative that the police officers are not going to protect us. First of all, we need to get rid of the bad officers. We need to make sure that we have accountability. And if anybody does not meet the criteria to be fit for service, we need to get rid of them. If anybody has gone through an incident where they should not have gone there, where they've crossed the line, we need to get rid of them. We need to establish trust between the police officers and our community. Second of all, we need to reach out to our communities, reach out to the parts of town where there's, you know, single-parent households, where there's more poverty, where they have lower-income households, because those have less resources. So we need to make sure that we reach out to them and they have what they need to make sure that the children there, that they're growing up in a safe environment, that they have somewhere to go to if their mom or their dad is at work. And, you know, what other place are they going to go to? You know, what other resources are they going to go to if all they have, all they know is the street? And we need to put a stop to that. We need to come together. It's everybody's responsibility. You know, you can't just, you know, the blame and you know, just leave this conversation if it doesn't pertain to you. It is up to all of us to put a stop to it.
Hey, Adrian, what's your number one? What do you think? What would be number one for you? Number one issue right now?
I think first and foremost, it'll be if elected mayor, it'll be just first and foremost, it'll be getting our spending under control. We have to put a check and balance on this spending, trying to find out where we are financially as a city. And why is that important? Because we are developing at a rate that people, it sounds good in the mind, you know, but at the end of the day, it's going to end up causing, you know, issues down the line, you know. And my thing is this, Bob, it's only so many minutes, seconds, and hours in a day, right? You can only do so much within in a given day. So my thing is getting spending under control. We need to find out where we are. We need to find out. I'm pretty sure they know where we are. I'll find out where we are, what are we wasting the people's money on? You know what I'm saying? Unnecessarily. We'll put a new development. It's It's
I tell you, if the people knew what they were wasting it on, it's terrible.
That's the issue, Bob. No, that's good. If they knew, so bring about transparency. You gotta make it to where people know what's going on, and not just think because because you gotta think about this, Bob. People are coming here in numbers, coming to Texas, right? We know people are coming to Texas from other places, but they're coming to areas and cities that they feel already have a reputation, you know, a quote-unquote good reputation. Fort Worth is one of those cities that has that ideal reputation. So that'll be a top priority, getting spending under control. Understand, I got to, you know, get an understanding of where we are, how did we get here, what do we need to do, what can we, you know, spending is one for me in that capacity, serving in that seat. But another one that stands out to me, like I said when I open up, is the childhood literacy rate. We got so many youth whose literacy is going to affect their ability to be productive in this given society. And I think we need stronger investments in these various organizations who have already and are still just taking the initiative to try to tackle this the childhood literacy rate within our city.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Let me go back to Jennifer here just a little bit on the police situation. You may think of a couple of things that I know it's one. These are two topics that are very good. The budget's one, and the police, and they both go hand in hand. They're both very good budget issues right there to look at very closely. But the experience I have with the police lately, which is I'm not going to talk too much about it because I do have an attorney, and it's an ongoing thing right now with the city, and that. But what I learned in my ordeal was that they have this little piece of paper that's called criminal trespassing. And mm-hmm. I'm not aware of this thing because I never had one before, you know. And usually I believe they're used probably in domestic abuse or fights like that or family or something like that, and to keep people apart. I believe that's what they're mainly used for. That's their main thing. Mine was I got a criminal trespassing for being on public property, community property. So I don't know where I'm supposed to walk at, to tell you the truth. But anyway. They gave me one. But here's the thing on the paper, and even after talking to the city attorney, they say they're good for about a year, but it's not written on there. And you'll be told all your life, get it in writing. I've heard it over and over, get it in writing. So we need these papers yanked out right now and reprinted, these little yellow criminal trespassing. They need a date on there showing from the time they're issued to when they expire. Otherwise, they're forever, okay, period.
Bob, the fact that you got a criminal trespass for going into a forum, into a public forum, where you voice your concerns like you're supposed to do, like a concerned citizen, not only a concerned somebody, an activist running for city council, and you got taken out by the police, what does that tell you? What does that tell people? I mean, that's appalling to me. Criminal trespassing for coming in and trying to do your civic duty.
When we see the whole video, it was a frame-up. And, well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to get too much on that, but when you see all the video and everything we're putting together.
Maybe you can't see that, but I'll see it for you.
There's a lot more video. There's more to it. There's more video and more stuff to it that we're looking at and everything right now. But the other thing on that piece of paper that gets me too, and like I say, with the city making it, this goes hand in hand. I'm saying the government, we're getting to where we're going to be more government control. We don't have a right to speak, council, all this taken away. But also this piece of paper, what it does, it convicts you without an appeal, no matter what. So when I saw the report the officer wrote, that almost shot my blood pressure to the top of my head. Because it put Gina in a good light and me in a bad light when Gina was the one that caused the problem, not me. So it's right the report's written right by the police backwards. Officer Z. Board wrote this. I demand for that to be changed. I want to work on that. But think about the paper there, to get back to the criminal trespassing. It should have a phone number, a contact, for a person to appeal if you feel you got one of these unjustifiably. We should have no pieces of paper from the city, period, in any department that convicts you without a chance for an appeal. It's all one-sided, and there's no one to call. And when you call the police about the paper, when I did, they told me to call the DA. I called the DA, and the DA told me to go to the police. So it was kind of – and then I went downtown and chased the police chief, Mr. Neil Nose, right out the door and across the street almost. He wouldn't stay long enough to – he can run pretty fast. But anyway – I was upset with him. I said, look, this is your police officer. He wrote a bogus report, you know, and he wouldn't talk. The chief just runs out. So what kind of chief of police is that runs out the building? I mean, that's just not good. So, yeah, we do need to hold him accountable. It's hard to hold him accountable when your chief of police is bad, I mean, on top of that. But anyway, those are two major and very good topics there, is your budget and in the because there's so much wasteful spending. It's unreal, the wasteful spending in this city. If people knew all the wasteful spending was going on, they would probably be more involved, too. But let's see. Well, Adrian, you have anything you want to add to this?
No, I was just trying to reach. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you. I was just trying to research the law, the state law regarding criminal trespass, and like you stated, Bob, you don't have to go into it. We know the optics of it. I just say this. I don't feel like no one who sits on that dais or however they say it should be using their positions to weaponizing their position against people who they disagree with. And that's another thing we've come up against. We've come up against a council that, like you say, when they feel like it's become more personal than it's become, you know what I'm saying, than them accepting accountability, you know. It's more personal. So they have weaponized the position like to serve them, not only at City Hall, but outside of City Hall. So what recourse does someone have, you know? What recourse does someone have? So hopefully, like you said, you continue to shine light on this matter, and you'll get this matter behind you, get this matter behind you.
Yeah, we'll see how that comes out. But regardless, no matter what, I was glad to find out about this piece of paper. That's one of those kind of things that we need to hold everybody in the city to start calling in and change that piece of paper. Just print on there an expiration date and put a phone number. Because it's not just about me. It's about all of us and the people that come behind us. There should be no piece of paper from the city that can convict you without a hearing. Okay? That's just wrong.
Hey Bob, from what I've observed when it comes to trespassing, usually officers usually use their discretion. They'll tell an individual. Now they'll usually give a person. We saw your situation. You know what I'm saying? If they didn't want you there, they should have said, "Hey, you need to leave." X, Y, Z. You had a right to say, "Okay, X, Y, Z, why?" They had to give you a reason. But usually in those situations, they'll tell a person, "Hey, they want you off this property if it's private." See, the code says as it relates to private. So, obviously, hey, you need to get off this property. Don't come back. If you come back, we'll trespass you. Boom. That's the verbiage they use. So that person already know, okay, I'm not to come back up here, because if I come back, they're going to trespass. Usually, they don't trespass people without there being a reason. You know, it has to have been something that goes against the law or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was written in the law. But anyway, I believe you'll be vindicated, and you shouldn't have to wait a year for it to come off. It shouldn't even be on you.
I mean, we're working on it. We're okay right now.
Yeah.
That. But the whole thing came out more important. It's not about me. The more thing, it opened my eyes up to something I didn't know, and that's what I keep learning the hard way.
Bob, if it can happen to you, how many other people is it happening to? And they don't know
that piece of paper can be easily changed, easily printed. You know, we're getting close to the first hour down, and what we're going to do here is we're going to open the lines, well, to anybody that has a question for, and well, who we have on board now is Jennifer Costello, running for mayor, and we have Adrian Devine Smith. I did not hear from Ken Bowman. And Allison Kennedy sent me an email earlier, right before then, and it had a family emergency, so let's hope that everything's okay there with them and that that gets worked out okay, whatever. But they did send me, she sent me an email apologizing, and it was such as she couldn't help it. So anyway, and also I'd love to have Allison Kennedy on, and I'd love to, you know, find out more about it, because a lot of people might have got confused, and I talked to her. She's running on the social, she wanted to make sure this is printed right, not wrong, okay? The Socialist Worker Party is different than the Social Party, she said, like Bernie Sanders. And that's why we're doing this local voter education. I get to learn as we go along, too, from people. So I'd love to learn more about that, what the difference is and stuff. I don't know anything about it. But that's the idea of the show, and have people come on and be able to ask questions and learn more about it. And I know a lot of people are not happy with social, and some are, so I don't know. But anyway, she did want to clarify that it was a social worker party, so I don't know. That's different than the just a social party. But anyway, well, mainly right now, if they're having some kind of family problem, I hope it's okay for them. I hope it works out all right, and everything will be okay there. So, and Jennifer, anything you want to add to what we just talked about? Still there, Jennifer? Or did we lose you?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello?
I can hear you. Are you still out?
Yeah,
are you
I'm
in
here.
The water garden? So where are you at?
I am at Clear Fork at the avocado by the waterfall. So a lot of kids just came to congregate. So it is. I'm walking away so you can hear me.
This is, you know what? This is a great show, though. I mean, you can call in from anywheres, and it's a really handy tool. If people look at it as a tool.
I just took a photo and I tagged you in it, so you can check it out after the show. But yeah, you can see I'm literally right here outside with my kids. But I mean, it's so important to still connect with everybody, and you know, no matter what you're doing, everybody
has
an hour in their day.
Yeah, and you can do it from across the United States, anywhere in the United States. If you're out of town, you can still call in and stay right in touch if you want to get some. And the kind of information you're getting here from people is just priceless, really, some of the people we've had on the show in the past and what we're planning on in the near future. I get the new studio built really at the around midterm. I am going to work to try to bring on some of our senators, Ted Cruz and so on, and that lab that's running for office when it comes up. So we'll see if we can't do more with that. And
awesome.
Okay, what we're going to do, let's see, it's about a minute till. We're going to take just a minute. You know, I worked on I worked for an hour building a good commercial here for a three-minute break, and I was too late getting it loaded in, so it wouldn't go into the machine, so it didn't. So I'm going to run the first one again here, and then I'm going to read off a little bit of the commercials or the advertisement that I did the first of the show, and then we'll take phone calls and see if they have any questions in, okay? So I'll be right back with you just for a few minutes here. Take a little break here and fix yourself a martini or whatever, and we'll start here in just a little bit, okay? And let's see if this plays again.
Welcome to the Easter Sunday Night Local Voter Education Program. Fort Worth has become the 12th largest city in the country, with over 1 million inhabitants, and 90% do not vote in the local elections. We hope to change that by sharing information that is vital to us, like who is in charge of the city's $1.7 billion budget, and who we are really voting for. That is what we are hoping to bring to you. And with that, our guest tonight are candidates for Fort Worth Mayor.
Okay, let's give a rundown here on upcoming events here. April 10th, Monday, that's tomorrow, at the Hanley Community Center. The Hanley Neighborhood Association is holding the candidates for District 5 from 6 p.m. to 7:10, and that's at the Hanley Community Center. And then on April 13th, Rocket Ship, is hosting it from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Dennis Duncan Elementary School. That'll be some, I don't know what candidates. I think they have a mix of candidates from school board to council members and so on. I don't have that. I'm sorry. April the 15th, we have United Fort Worth, and this is for District 6 candidates at the Southwestern Community Center from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at 6300 Welch Avenue. That's United Fort Worth hosting that one. And then, again, April the 20th, that's a Thursday, United Fort Worth is hosting one at the Martin Luther King from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. That's 5565 Trump Drive. And then, again, United Fort Worth is holding one April the 22nd. This is for District 11. April 22nd from 1 to 3 p.m. at the T.A. Sims, S.I.M.S. Elementary School, 3500 Crenshaw Avenue. Now, I will say the Fort Worth United, I think they've done a great job. I enjoyed their questionnaires more than there's three questionnaires I did not even answer that came my way. I didn't even answer them. But the Fort Worth United was asking questions that are really on the same page I'm on that I like a lot that need to be asked and addressed, and I really like that out of them. So I look forward to their meeting on the 22nd for me at the Martin Luther King. And if they're in your district there, I just mentioned to you, or share that information with people in your district or that district if you know them. Also, you know, go back and listen to this podcast, the interesting, the parts of it in the beginning you might have missed, come back into. One of the things that we talked on earlier, I noticed we have more people tuning in now, I wanted to bring up was the pay raise that the city council asked for some time ago. And the way they advertised this, like 47% was for the raise, 53% was against it. Okay, that sounds like the city is voting on that number. But when you magnify it and see what it was 13,693 voted for the raise, 15,414 voted against the raise. This only comes to about close to 30,000 people, which is a little bit under 3% of the population is all that voted on that pay raise. Okay, 3%. And it only got down by 1,321 people. So it's so important to start educating about voting in our local election. 3%. Now, if this goes the other way, we would have lost our right to vote on whether or not council gets raised or not. They'd got automatic raises from here on out. And plus, I mean, really, what have they done since they got in there? I mean, from the beginning when they got in, they reduced council meetings from 4 times a month to 2 times a month. So they cut their workload in half. And then they took away our right to speak at city council meetings. And then they asked for a triple in salary and almost got it. Came real close to almost getting it. I mean, really. But anyway, if more people are involved, this wouldn't happen. That's why they don't want more people involved knowing what's going on. We're not getting the news out to people letting them know because only 3%, and that's how you get this close to vote. I think if, you know, if we had 10% voting, it wouldn't be nowhere as close as I think they would have got knocked down completely. That's why this has happened. But anyway, okay, I just want to kind of bring those numbers up a little bit, and that's the idea of the show, bring people on, try to help share some information, try to get some inside stuff going on here. If you have any calls for Jennifer or Adrian, you just press 1 on the phone. We'll see your hand in the dial. I mean, it'll raise up in the phone line here, and we'll be glad to bring you on, and you can ask any question or bring up any topic you'd like to bring up if you like. Otherwise, I guess we're going to come back to the second part of our show here. And, well, let's start off with, I guess, Jennifer, are we still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob.
Okay, then I'll tell you what.
Does anybody have any questions for me?
Well, I'll tell you what, yeah. Let's, you know what, we've got people tuning in, but I don't see any hands up is what I don't see. They got to push the 1. I'll know they let them on the phone. There's a lot of time people queue in, they listen, which is fine. And then sometimes the whole idea was to make this thing open where they could if they wanted to talk to a candidate. And that's the ideal. But we do have people queuing into it. And I'm afraid I used up most of the show in the first half. Maybe I should maybe we should dance around more in the first half and bring down the serious stuff in the second half when everybody's tuning in. So, but I guess another topic to do you have any other topics? What'll be your second most important topic while I think of where we're going to go to from here?
For me, Bob?
Do you have anything other than the police? What'll be your second topic other than the police? What'll be your next important topic with the city
that
you want to work on something?
Our affordability here in Fort Worth, it's just increasingly difficult for people to afford housing, whether it's rental or ownership. And we really need to work. The city needs to work with us, needs to work with developers and stakeholders so that we can actually put a plan together and create housing for people that is affordable. 200, 250,000, that doesn't exist here anymore. You know, you can't find a decent three-bed, two-bath, you know, 1,500 square feet, even 1,200 square feet, something for first-time home buyers, for new families to come into so that they can get out of renting, out of that cycle. So that's number, I mean, big priority right there. You know, the safety, security, crime rate, housing. Because once we get that down, once we have that unlocked, you know, the poverty, the crime, all of these other extenuating factors that deal with not having stability in your household, those are going to go down.
Well, that is a good topic. Is the issue and the I would love to see more A75 homes built for families. You know, they talk about affordable housing, and I think we could build A75 homes as low as A5 homes if we had the right people in office. And I believe we could build more homes for families to be into instead of cubicle apartments. That's what I'm seeing constantly. We're bringing in more and more apartments, which is on the bill again down here to change a part of this area off of Trinity from agriculture to apartments. And apartments, we do need a certain amount of apartments. I'm for that for a certain amount. But I think when you coop people together so close, they need room to grow. You need room to spread out. That's what makes everybody so angry. That's why the people in New York so angry. I don't know. That's the downtown in Manhattan. Has anybody been to Adrian or you or Jennifer, have you ever been to Manhattan on the streets of New York?
No, I have not. I haven't.
How about you, Adrian? Have you ever been there? On the streets of New York?
No, I haven't.
Manhattan?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying anything against the people in New York, but the general rule is just don't make eye contact and keep going. And they did a survey that came out. Texas was in one of the top five of the best, friendliest places to live. New York was in one of the lower ones. And it's because people are crammed together. They don't have room to grow, you know? They're in little boxes. And I think you need, now, like I said, apartments are good for temporary living and all that, but for children and families, that's what we used to have all the time, bigger yards and room to actually, you know, have space. It's just not good. I'll give it another way. Even the horses are treated better than the people. They won't allow me to put three horses out here, not enough room. They allow a certain amount of room, and it's against the law if you put too many horses in one area, okay? But it seems like people, they'll stack them on top of each other. So space is a thing. But, yeah, and I think we could have more affordable houses and homes, and I think we could have bigger ones. But first we've got to get council and the mayor in that will hold these developers down and from making a killing off all this stuff. They're selling them out down here like this area. I think they call it Blockbuster. I'm not sure, but this development down here, well, I understand half of it's already sold off to investors who will buy up half the houses and then turn around and rent them out. So if they can afford to buy them and rent them out. Go ahead.
And Bob, that's why they get away with it, because it's under the guise of affordability, you know. So a lot of people, that's why I say people need to be involved and know what's going on, because everybody talks from the same political script when it comes time for election time, you know. And most of the incumbents talk from the same script. They say affordability. But that's just a cover. I heard it came out of Councilwoman Beck's mouth. She said regardless of how we vote or what type of restrictions we put in place, she already said it came out of her mouth. She said the developers control the market. They control the market. So no matter what, we could put in restrictions, which I don't buy it. You know, they, you know, listen here, stop allowing them to, you allow them to buy up these spaces. You give them these various incentives to do this, and they majority of the developers, I'm sure, don't even live here in the DFW metro. Like you stated, that they stated that a lot of the areas were bought up by outside investors, you know, people who don't even live here, who can care two dams about what goes on in the people's, the livelihoods here, you know. So, yeah, we would have to, I will put a halt to new development. It sounds crazy, but let's complete what we already got on the books and see where we're going from there. Or this, like you said, with the apartments. See, that's another thing. I'm concerned about the new homeless. I'm concerned about the homeless. So if there's a new homeless that's cropping up, and the new homeless are the people who are, as we speak, are being priced out of their homes. Not only their homes, but their rental. They're not able to afford rent. They can't even afford rent no more because everybody has used inflation as a means to say, well, we have to raise rent. So oh well, it's, you figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So. That's another area we have to tackle, you know. I do think we can put a moratorium on rental rates. I think certain areas, rental rates shouldn't be, you know, certain properties like older apartment dwellings that have been in the city for decades or centuries or however time, you know, there's no reason that their rental rates should be that reflective of the newer developments, you know, like you say on 7th Street, this, that, or the other, this. When you look at the areas and they don't have anything that reflects why these rental rates are the way they are. So I would be for figuring out a way to put a halt on these rental rates. You know, we got it. It's happening, and I know we can do it, Bob. Yeah. I know, and it probably would take the city working with the county. See, that's where I would have to come into a working relationship with the county. You know, with the county judge and the commissioners, because they play a big part in it as well. So
they sure do. Well, I'll tell you what, let's open up the phone line. We got a caller here at 5683. That's what we go by, is your last four numbers of what we call out. And we're going to open the line up for 5683. And if I hit the right button, we will. Let's see. Okay. Who do we have on the line here?
Hey, Bob, this is Christopher Moreno. How you doing?
Oh, how you doing? Glad to have you on here.
All right. I was listening to a couple of topics y'all talked about early on, and I was just going to clear up about the public trespassing and the criminal trespassing thing. And that was a complete the law doesn't provide for that. That process under those circumstances on public property. If you're on public property and there's a problem, a public servant can't criminally trespass you from that property. What they have to have is probable cause to cite you or arrest you for disorderly conduct, public intoxication, some kind of – they have to have a probable cause to do something like that. There is no such thing as criminal trespass on public property curfew, or if you're in after hours.
I caused a disturbance. Is what they're saying. They're saying in the report, they're saying I'm causing a disturbance.
I understand. That's just the report.
Okay.
The point that I'm telling you is the criminal, like what Adrian was saying, criminal trespassing only applies to private property, and so. On public property, if you have the lawful right to be there and you're there during open hours, if you're causing a disturbance, then what they are supposed to do isn't criminally trespass you. They're supposed to give you a court date for arrest you or give you an appearance citation for disorderly conduct. It's a Class C misdemeanor. The criminal trespassing doesn't happen on public property. I'm just under those circumstances. And that way, that's because exactly why you would have the appeals process. You would have a day in court to deal with that issue. But under criminal trespassing, they issue that quasi, you've been criminally trespassed, and if you don't leave when they tell you to leave, it's fraudulent. That criminal trespass paper is completely bogus. It doesn't even mean nothing. What would have meant something is if you refused to leave, then they would have wound up, they wouldn't have given you criminal trespassing. They would have gave you disorderly conduct because they would not have been able to get a probable cause for criminal trespassing on public property.
Well, I'll tell you one thing it does mean, though. Well, see, there's a meeting there tomorrow, and I could not have gone to that. I could have got arrested if I went to that meeting. My lawyer has got me a special paper from the city attorney. I got a paper from the attorney that allows me to go to that one meeting, to take that paper with me, that I can go to the meeting. That's from the city attorney. And my attorney is working with the attorney right now to remove it completely. And they're looking at the video and all that right now. So whether or not it's right or wrong, there ain't nothing I can, you know, if I go on the police, they'll just take me right to jail, whether it's right or wrong. And there ain't much you can do about it. And we got to change that.
I understand that predicament. The only thing that I'm telling you, if you chose to go to that, okay, you've got that criminal trespassing, right? If you show up there and you don't create a disturbance, I'm telling you they might arrest you, but I'm telling you there would be no problem. There is no such thing as probable cause for a criminal trespass on public property. And there's only one exception, and that is somebody, like if somebody, a private entity was leasing the building. You know, if they had a lease for that built, like a rent, a pavilion, if there was like a pavilion and they were holding a private function, then whoever is the coordinator for that private function would be able, under that, except that's one exception. But this was a public opens meeting. It was open to the public at a public community center, public property. I'm just letting you know, and I'm not saying go and fight it, but I'm telling you what would happen. Yeah.
Well, what my attorney would say to that is where do you get that information at? Where's that paper at? Where's that information? It's what you're saying. Where's that written?
You would read the Texas Penal Code, the Texas Penal Code under criminal trespassing. If you read through all of the subsections, the subsections and everything. You read through all of the subsections and everything, and you will see that it just doesn't reason under the law. What they would do is what they would do is arrest you or cite you for disorderly conduct. That's their only in court. If they arrested you and they tried to bust you up, and you went to jail, and they went to the magistrate and they sat there and had criminal trespassing, that would not fly in court because the judge and your attorney would be able to say the criminal trespassing statute doesn't apply under these circumstances. And what they would wind up doing is trying to freaking recharge you for disorderly conduct. But if they don't have disorderly conduct requires behavior across a certain threshold. They've got you. They're just faking. They're faking it to make it, man. That's all I'm saying to that topic.
Well, I know one thing. I've got to try to it's tough to do anything because most of the people won't talk that was at the meeting. The newswoman won't return a recall to the attorney, and I'm going to talk, you know. But I've got to try to find some more video up close because if we get you can't hear the sound quite. And if we get the right video from this, which I'm working on, trying to find some people, know people there and get some more information or a witness or whatever more, if we get enough stuff together, we do have a case to go to court with, and we'll sue them. But my attorney is not going to walk in unless he has an undisputable case. You know what I mean? And that's why, even though right now I can say there's not one person in the building, they cannot produce one person that can say they saw me cause a disturbance. The police, no one can say that, not one person in the building. But I've got to find somebody. So you've got to prove yourself. You're guilty until you prove yourself innocent out here. And I thought it was right the other way. But he said that's only in a court of law. When you get over in the courts, it's right the opposite. And then you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But out here, you're guilty until you're innocent, until you're proved innocent. So it's kind of reversed, you know. But we're working on it, and there's some more video to be found. I got pictures of people in there, and I'm going to, at the meeting Monday, I'm going to see if anybody knows any of these people. And there is some more video. And the funny thing, I was going over this video again I saw, which I got from the city. There's a woman sitting in there not too far back from where I'm at, and she only starts filming her phone when I'm talking. I just noticed I was watching it closely. She turns on her phone, she films while I'm talking, and then she turns her phone off when I stop talking. Well, when it happens, and right after that, she's not filming. I look further in the video to see if she's filming anymore or not. But she's just filming that part where I start and that. I don't know, but she'd have a better sound from where she was at, and that's what we need to get. The sound was terrible there. But anyway, if we can get the stuff to prevail that will prove 100% that I was not causing disturbance, then we're gonna go to town with them, okay? If we can get that,
let me just say one last thing. I'm not gonna hog up. I'm not gonna expand this. Right. But I just want to point out, okay? As a friend, I'm telling you that all of this avenue of, I'm telling you that criminal trespass is the court's not even going to hear. It's going to be whatever, arguing and fussing and trying to get people who solicited the criminal trespass. That's irrelevant because there is no law. They played you, all I'm saying. But here's the thing. Here's the only, your course of resolve in that matter would be, and it would cost you, if you get your attorney, or you could do it pro se, and it would fly, you can technically get, I think it would be U.S. Code 9, there's a criminal charge for it too called deprivation of rights under color of law. And that means that the police and Gina Bivens, it's a criminal charge, but it wouldn't be too extreme, but that you can call the FBI and you can file a complaint. I don't know how they would go with it criminally because it really wasn't crazy, but they might look into it. But your best course of action, if you want a victory on this, is to spend the $300, look up your law, 1983, U.S. Code 1983 for a constitutional violation. They violated your Second Amendment right under color of law by removing you from your right of redress. Under the First Amendment, your right to a redress at an Open Meetings Act, everything like that. You have all the facts to do that. All you would have to do is get your little template for a motion, and maybe your attorney could do it, and then it would cost like a $200 or $300 filing fee in federal court. And with that you have the merit. It wouldn't be tossed for, and then what would happen would be then they would. And once you beat these people, this is the problem that people have, like Mata and there's a few other people. But once you get a victory under your belt in court, they really, really back off and they start being a lot more careful. I know a couple of people who have done the filming. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. You get
I've got a good attorney. At a good cost and everything. He's sued the city several times, so he's got experience. I think he used to be an ACLU. I think that's where the letters are.
Attorney. That's who you need.
Well, that's my attorney. He used to be there, and he's almost working pro bono for me. He's not charging me what they normally charge out there, okay?
Yeah.
Because he knows there's something wrong here. So he's been helping me out a lot here, and I'm going to try to get some more information. And I'm sure, you know, that if he can see anything to go, I'm pretty sure we got some good eyes on it, okay, to go forward. And like you said, once you do, then they back off more. But anyway, the end of the day is, still, we've got the power to do anything in the city if we just get the people on board.
Yeah.
That's all we got to do is get enough to organize, and it wouldn't take that many. We could do anything in the city. We could change anything, fix anything.
But I just want to open it up for anybody on here, dialogue. I got a feeling it's a real big fat balloon ready to pop. This David Cook thing, okay? What people aren't understanding, we elect the city council is elected every 2 years, okay? And what people aren't seeing is this David Cook subterfuge. This man has been in office, I think, going on 14 years now, he's held his
no,
position.
No,
under
not 14. We had a different manager for him, but he's been in a long time.
He came in 2014. So, okay, 10 years.
Okay.
I'm going
okay.
on 10 years. My bad.
You're right. Cause
right.
That's okay. You're
yeah.
close to it, though.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
I knew we had another manager when I first got into this before him.
But we have had numerous repeat things here, and this thing going on with the new City Hall is an absolute pattern, okay? Because what happened with this City Hall, this $10 million mistake, more than $10 million, but just on the floodplain, what the news media and the records are saying, just on the floodplain aspect of it, it shouldn't have happened. They permitted this building to be built 15 years ago by Chesapeake, say, and they've exchanged. It's went through the title process, permitting process, the survey process two times with two different corporate companies. What David Cook did was he got some kind of a wind or breaking a deal for the because I think the building had a marketability issue because this would have been strike three and what I think. They were having a problem dumping that building because they knew that it was under these circumstances. This floodplain thing was making it not marketable. The people were coming and looking, and they saw that, so they're like, yeah. So they saw that.
Oh, the city's a perfect place to dump it on. That's where you dump
they
it, right there on the city.
And now, mm-hmm. right, now the city's taxpayers are on the hook for it. But the point that I'm making is, this thing that's coming up this Tuesday, there needs to be some heavy hitters coming in and speaking and putting up their, and make them vote no on that hiring, speak against them going ahead and going into litigation with this, hiring a private law firm, because this is the same thing that they did with the Chief Fitzgerald scandal. Chief Fitzgerald, if you know the background on that, back in 2019, he was after – there was some corruption going on. Two or three different angles of it, and so fired him the same day that he was going to go in conference with the FBI over some of this stuff. They called him in the morning. He had a 1 o'clock meeting. Anyway, the thing that I'm saying opening up here is what they did with Fitzgerald was they did the same thing. They hired an outside law firm. And they said $150,000, right?
So is that on the agenda? Is that on council agenda Tuesday?
It's on the agenda Tuesday, yes, to spend $150,000.
Okay. I kind of scanned down. I didn't look at everything on there, but I'll look for it. I don't know what MC it is, but I'll look for it.
Yeah, it's down at the bottom. It's down there at the bottom about the they want to hire a private law firm called Canny Brothers or Associates to do this. But what's going to happen? What the reason that they're doing that is because it's an election year. So once they hire that law firm, if they vote to say yes and they hire that law firm, then everybody on city council, David Cook, and all the staff that have culpability that pooped in their pants on this deal, and they get confronted on it, or if you go and you try to get public records on this to investigate it, they're going to say, we can't release this because it's a pending legal matter. That's what they did with this deal, because people were coming back. It's a play to smoke screen so they can fly it under the radar.
I know. Yeah, it's there's no shortage. It's a mess down there. But like you know, at the end of the day, we're just going to have to really get people back involved. And if we do, we have enough power to start changing. And we got to get different people in office. So anyway, but yeah, I appreciate the call in. I needed all the help I could in the second half here. I was dancing around here for something to do here. Okay, well, I appreciate the update, all
right,
the information there. I appreciate that very much, and feel free to call anytime we're doing a show and maybe we'll see you at City Council Tuesday. So
okay.
And I'm going to move back to Jennifer. Are we still here, Jennifer? Or Adrian?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob.
You okay, I'm just trying to see if Jennifer was still around here. She might be busy with something, but Adrian, okay. Well, that was interesting some there, and it kind of got to be my show. They're supposed to call and ask y'all questions. Instead, I'm getting the questions. Y'all didn't know this was a setup, did you? Just so it could be my show. No, but it was to ask y'all questions about what's going on.
Hey,
Bob, it's all good. You know, Christopher is part of part of the fight, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
he's
sure.
The super group, or I would say the people we align with, you know? So,
I know. So, and we just got to, you know, we got to get more people involved. We've got to get some of these outsiders involved. So we'll work at that. That's what we're going to do here. I was trying to think of any other topics here to go over. And
Bob, let me ask you
housing.
This. Bob, just for better understanding, for people who may be, when you say replace, so for people who don't know, because again, we don't believe that everybody's informed. So when people hear Bob Willoughby saying, put our right to speak back at the top, return our right to speak, what was it, and then what is it now? What was it before, and what is it now? That's for the people who, so they can understand what it is we're trying to, one of the things we're fighting to get back established here in the city.
Well, definitely, you're speaking, Roger. You got that taken away, because other cities have it, and we don't anymore. You know, and they did that to see if they can get away with it, and that's one thing. And
one question I have about the public speaking thing that I don't think that anybody's fleshed out. There's been a lot of talking about it, but what I wonder is who, because I don't think anybody wants to answer this. I would encourage somebody to ask who is the one, you know, that put that on the agenda to begin with. Which motion, who
council
came
proposal.
Up with
the council proposals. Yeah, the council proposals.
Right, but which candidates were the one that put it on there? Who signed on
right.
for that to be a consideration? It could have been David Cook. That's the other thing that people don't understand about a lot of things that come up on the agenda. I think they were talking about suspend the rule. It needs 3 or 4 or 5 people to council members to put an item on the agenda. But I think I'm not really sure, but I have suspicion that if I reviewed the charter and the protocols, I think the city manager has carte blanche to put anything on the agenda that he wants to, on his own authority.
Well, you know, Chris, you take it from our mayor's, take it from her own mouth. This is a city manager type. Basically, yeah. David Cook is the one. He's the one calling the shots. They work for him. That's basically what she's saying. They work for him. He's the smartest one up on the diet. He's the one. So,
yeah, and that's the problem, because the mayor is acting like they're powerless. But let me tell you, he's been in there 10 years. He's been rolled up. He's been rolled up in the Fitzgerald scandal. If you really research and read that, he was the one that got with the POA and they committed the mutiny, and then they gaslighted and they stirred up a whole bunch of mess to make it impossible for Fitzgerald to continue. You know, and then, you know, it just became crazy. And David Cook was involved. David Cook was the one that fired him. It wasn't the city council asking to fire him. David Cook did it behind the scenes and fired him. And then city council got on board with it. And then
right.
it costed $750,000 to litigate the lawsuit that he filed for wrongful termination. And it's still not really resolved.
It's still going. Yes, sir. You're right. It is still ongoing. It is still ongoing. So,
and that's what's going to happen with this other thing. They start out 150, then in a year it turns into 350, and then 500, and then it's going to get up to $750 million for paying a private firm.
And Chris, you are well knowledgeable. You know, you're well informed and knowledgeable on those particular areas of law, this, that, or the other. That's why your perspective is always one I welcome and appreciate, because you, just like Manuel knows
yeah.
his stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We deal with people who will rather people be either uninformed or misinformed. Those are two things that they can deal with. But once you start trying to disseminate information, get people to think, ask questions, you become a threat. You become a threat. So in regards to
I'll tell you, this thing that came up with this thing that came up with Maddie Parker threatening to cut people off like she did Thomas, okay, you can go ahead and do that. If this happens to you, I'm not telling people to go up there and be vulgar and violent or anything like that. But under the circumstances, what Peyton said, that was not an accusation, okay?
No, it's not.
It was it was rhetorically proper. It was a redress of grievances. And if she stands her ground and holds that podium and the police forcibly remove her, then she, just like Bob Willoughby, will have a a claim under 1983 for depriving her of her First Amendment right of redress and under color of law. And I would sit there and say, I hope somebody goes up there and confronts Manny the next open meeting public comments and says, you know, you say that you're going to cut the mic off. Well, guess what? I brought a bullhorn with me, you know, and just start saying the rest of your speech. I want my 3 minutes. And if they do, if they haul you out of there by force or whatever, then you say, that's okay. Because that is deprivation of your rights. Now, if you're acting a fool and you're cussing and being, there's a threshold there, but nothing that happened, nothing that Maddie Parker stated about being vulgar or whatever. It was dissident commentary. You know, it was a dissident speech, and you have a right to be a dissident in public meetings.
Right.
So I would just sit there and say, throw me out, and then wait, this city will be under a constitutional violation lawsuit for, and just, that's what you got to do, because they're just playing chaos against, Maddie is a lawyer. Maddie Beck and Crane, all three have law degrees. Okay. Flores is an engineer and I think MBA, there's an MBA up there. And then you got Dr. Williams and Pastor Nettles, and all of these people, they know what's going on. And what they know is that the people don't know. And they're really, really, really condescending and using their position. You know, they say, you're going to respect everybody on this dais. And my whole speech about that, nobody respects authority. What people respect is character.
Right.
That's it.
And we know, when you saw Bob, Bob hit the horn and sniffed early that last Bob said, okay, she said this. Let me test it out. Bob tested it out real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but like you say, I know we on another topic, but like you say, if people look at that, and it's like you say, Jack Peyton never did say she was. Peyton just had questions. She said, hey, she brought up the hometown. The history, what it's known for. And she said, hey, if you're not this, then prove it to us. You know, if you're not this,
exactly.
this. She never said she was. So, but
I call that civic confrontation by a dissident. It wasn't vulgar. It wasn't violent. If you don't communicate violence or solidarity, that's not any cause for you to lose any time or be removed from a public meeting. You have the right, absolute right.
Yes, sir.
Well,
you can tell her
you
can tell her you don't like her smile. Why? What are you smiling at? You know, that's not going to get you. That can't get you kicked out.
Well, it's not supposed to get you kicked out anyway. It's not supposed
well,
to.
Well, if
but,
it does, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They are lawyers. They know the game they're playing. The cannons that they're aiming at the people. And I'm just saying that it's time to get some people together and go up there and test it and dare them to do it. I mean, Martin Luther King got arrested no less than 29 times for doing that.
Well, that's the. That's what we need, more people. You know, that's where it all kind of died at, right around that time when Kennedy was shot, his brother was shot, Martin Luther King was shot. I think people got, I don't know, everything started changing at that time. The Democrat Party, all that started changing after that.
Yeah.
It seems like that was a turning thing, and that's what we need, more people to, you know, like Martin Luther King. He didn't just talk, he did. And that's what we need people to get out and do. that. And it's, you know, it's going to take some conditioning to get people, because they've been really brainwashed mm-hmm. not to get involved and dummy down. So, and some of the things I was thinking about doing, which I heard other people doing too, which I thought was a good idea too, at some of these meetings or stuff, I even thought about trying to make the saying I go down to City Hall anyway. So this is no skin off my nose. I go there anyway every Tuesday, okay? So I thought about starting trying to advertise that as a – at first I was going to call it the Cop Watcher meeting, and I thought, man, I'm making a name for it, and call it a meeting and offer a free $100 gift certificate to Best Buy or Walmart or a free TV or something if we have more than 40 people to show up, and we can have a drawing for that. Something to give them an incentive to come down, okay? I don't know what. I can't do a whole lot. You know, a new car would draw a lot of people down, but give away something to –
Yeah. I have an idea.
I was like,
I have an idea that if somebody, one person particularly, because I know you got material to cover when you speak, Adrian, you got material to cover, but if there's somebody that we could recruit, I'm out of town, somebody that we could recruit, and what we would do is have a sound engineer create a recording. And then have like a personal tape, like you remember the old boombox or whatever, or a little hand mic, and have somebody record that exchange that Thomas and had with Maddie Parker. And basically on every monthly public comments meeting, have that, put that speaker against the microphone, and don't even say nothing. Just say, remember when he said, you're Dave, you're Goliath, we're David, and then Maddie Parker said, shut up, you're done, you're done, and cut him off. Just replay that little 30 second video as a routine tradition on public speaking night, just in memory of Thomas. Just have him go up there in memory of Thomas Torlinkowski.
Yeah.
play that sound bite.
To play that by carry a little recorder and play that each time to that would be going, because that was a hilarious thing. I mean, they sit there.
Hey guys, I want you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, ahead, you all be mindful of April 18th. I mean, not April. Yeah, April 18th, 2023, the next public comment meeting. Get ready, you all. I believe the room will be filled. And I'm working on something. I'm not taking credit for it, but I think it's a group of people who have something that's about to – it's working against them. I'm not going to say too much because I believe, but I will be at a particular meeting this week, and I will be giving my voice to this particular group, letting them know, hey, this ain't where you're going to get it done. You got to be down. You got to go down here. Listen, y'all, the 18th is all I'm saying. Be mindful of the 18th. Just be mindful of the 18th.
Is that a public comment meeting?
Yeah, it's a public comment meeting, yeah.
Uh-huh. Walk in there with Snoop. Pop it like it's hot.
Well, I was thinking about getting me one of those jail uniforms, you know, with the stripes and the hat. If I'm going to be a prisoner, I might as well wear the clothes, huh? So, no.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, get some props. Let's start putting, it's dare them.
Well, Thomas would come down with props, you know. He would come down with those bags of beans and stuff. And that was something else, you know.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a hilarious night, though, with Maddie. He was saying, I don't want to be scalded and, you know, criticized and all that. And she's going, no one's scalding you. No one's doing that. And he says, you're Goliath, I'm David. You're done. She cuts him right off. I mean,
and then I think either that meeting or the meeting at right before that or right after that, that's when Beck jumped in on it, and Beck got on to him about he was trying to say something. I don't know. She just had to.
Your stick.
Had to
we got your stick or whatever. And she let him on that, you know.
And then Mr. Williams tried to pull a funny one this time around with Maddie Parker after Maddie Parker made her comment, and then it was against you. Point of order, that's a personal – yeah, that's a personal attack. You know what I would have said?
That was a personal attack.
I would have said point of order and give him, here's 2 points of order, and give him 2 middle fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Jared, I guess he needed some protection. That's a personal attack on me. He's like a big baby or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's
all they do is talk
but,
to the chip on the shoulder.
You know, but yeah, it's something else. But yeah, anyway, but if we can just, like I say, we're planning on working at this more, and I plan on doing more with the Blog Talk Radio over the next few years too, anyway, and to try to get more people to use this as a tool to learn about our candidates and what's going on in the city and when votes are coming up. And right now on the city website, I mean, you go to the homepage, you won't see anything about elections. And that's what I like Renee. They brought him from Austin. They brought him in. Oh, the woman from the Diversify, the new system they put in. She was out there in the hallway. Adrian, you remember, came up. These other promises. You know what I'd like to just get rid of community engagement, the oversight committee, the Diversify one. She's making $95,000 a year, and she's not the director. And I'm sure that, there's a lot of people who do these jobs for half that and be real happy and do just as good a job. I'm not taking anything from them. I can't blame these people for taking a job. You get offered 95, you're stupid not to take it.
The idea that I've been floating is, since we've got all the people in place and it's already wired into the system, they've already got it budgeted, that Office of Police Oversight Management, all they need to do – And it would be a quick fix. We could possibly get around having to have all this chaotic debate about the community board, the civilian oversight board. All they need to do is say, what we're going to do is we're going to tweak this Office of Oversight Management position, and we're going to put police oversight manager, like Neil was, she's going to be the supreme authority of Internal Affairs Division investigation. That means all of the Internal Affairs Division stuff goes under her instead of the chief of police. The police only the police chief will only be in charge of community policing operations. All Internal Affairs, they'll keep the same staff, but all of the Internal Affairs Division officers will be accountable to the Office of so that's their that's who they got to turn their paper in for final approval.
I like that to go back and I think come on, Dale, she came on our show when she came here, and I think she might have been good. That's why she left. The place is so bad, the corruption and stuff. She had no power. It was really a waste of time. And I think that's why she left here, to be honestly, because she's a good person, and that's why she bugged out of this crap. And you're right. That would be good to go underneath a cheap person if you need it. But I still go back to square one without these. I'd like to get rid of all these things and get a mayor and manager first, because that's the top, and that's where the cancer is. And you're just spitting at the wind.
I've looked at this in a lot of ways, and I've been analytical about it. And, they're spinning chaos, because chaos is how you maintain a status quo in this situation. But – I'm going to tell you, this David Cook issue, okay, cause to terminate him immediately has existed for a long time. And what I sit here and tell you is, if you terminate David Cook, then the issues with the police department, with Neil Noakes, the new city manager that you get, isn't going to come in here and want to deal and get, because there's already enough stuff on Neil Noakes' head too. I mean, for poor leadership and mistakes and a lot of stuff. It's not personal, but professionally he is an ineptitude of leadership, and his integrity sucks. So what I'm telling you is, when they recruit a new city manager, they get rid of Cook, a new city manager comes in, I guarantee you that it's just going to be by default that city manager is going to want his foundation, and he's going to clean house. That's just how it works.
Well, it will if you get
a
new mayor. But with the same mayor and the same city council, you're going to get the same kind of manager again. And they decide that behind closed doors. They interview. Another thing, they like to bring in managers from out of state. They don't never like to hire. We've got a million people here. It's kind of hard to believe that out of a million people, we can't find one person here that's qualified.
There's a provision.
You know,
there's a subsection. There is a subsection provision underneath the city manager appointment site. Like, you know, the if you read the city charter where it says city manager, this, that, whatever, there is a subsection that says there will be extreme preference for people who are from Fort Worth, who are internal Fort Worth business, somebody in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know who they had before, who was before David Cook, but
I talked to that manager too before Cook, and I can't remember his name, but I did talk to him, but I can't remember his name. But I knew when he
but
left.
They're supposed to
the
give.
First...
They're supposed. Yeah. They're supposed to give preference. They're supposed to give preference to Fort Worth people.
Well, they don't. They don't like to hire out of Fort Worth. They like to hire out because when you hire people that work in the city from the city they live in, some of these people can actually care about the city because they lived here all their life. You know.
Yeah.
And when you bring someone from out of town in here, they can care less about the city, same way the developers buying houses don't care, you know? And that's why they do all this recruiting from out. Last time when Cook came in, one of the candidates was from El Paso, at least was in Texas.
Yeah.
And then Cook and another one from – the one that was here before, though, the manager that left for here, he came from Detroit, from Michigan, somewhere from Michigan is where he came from. So they don't like to hire right here, but we've got a million people, and I'd like to hire right here with people here that has lived here. And that I'd like to see that, and you know, I'd like to see changes to take a page from the Lake Worth cities the way they do things. I came across this doing a little investigating. I'm not sure all this, but I built up on this. I would love to see us restructure the city from and do away with mayor and council. Get rid of that crap. It makes celebrities out of them. And let's put it down. The mayor is the chair, and the council members are the board, and the people are the stockholders. And any major businesses out there, big businesses that have stockholders, you always see the board is scrambling to please the stockholders. That would be us. And if we put that kind of picture in school in the kids' minds and start running our city like a business, and we are the stockholders, I kind of like to experiment with that. And also I'd like to see us go to what they call an at-large, which I talked to Maddie Parker about that in the in our private meeting, whatever. I did mention that, and it's called at-large. Now, I don't know a lot about this, and I'm sure with anything, there's good points and bad points, and I always like the idea that if you did put something in place, if it doesn't work, reverse it back then, okay? Let's just take it back like it was if it's not better, okay? The second thing, before you put anything in place, you make sure you share it with everybody wide open, get all the points of view on it, and see that's good for everybody. At large means that we would vote for all the council members across the board. So whoever's running against Beck, we all could vote for that person running against Beck. Okay? The whole city can because we vote against. So what that would do is the redistricting gerrymandering wouldn't mean a thing. It would all go out the window because we vote at large. Okay? I don't care how you draw the map. Draw them any way you want to. I don't care. We vote at large. Okay? That would take care of that. That'd get rid of the racial gerrymandering and the regular gerrymandering, okay, which is full of it in this map. That's as crooked as can be. But like I say, there is downfalls to this probably somewhere, and it needs to be I'd like to see it explored. I'd like to share it in meetings. I'd like to share it with people and get their whole points of view on it. But the city council works as a block against us. They Crane and all makes decisions that affects all of us across the city. But we work in sections. We're broke up into 11 sections now. And that's all we fight with. If we worked as one, we would have more power to vote out any council member across that board that isn't doing good. We would have the power to do it. So that's something I'd like to explore and see what other people think about that and see what the good, the pros and the cons and that to it. But anyway, that's something I'd like to see because I'd like to get rid of all the gerrymandering and crap like that, and that's what that would do. It would get rid of that gerrymandering, and also I think it would make us more stronger. But there again, none of this stuff's going to happen until we get people in office that's willing to support these kind of things, okay? That's the first thing.
One thing that catch you would 22. Run into, one thing that you would run into with the at-large plan is if you would run into this is if you ever had to recall the – if you ever had to recall somebody, then you would have that at-large factor. That would be a huge hurdle. But with the districts, you can theoretically, it would be very easy if you can get five probably in some of these districts, if you could get 2,000-3,000 2,000 or 3,000 signatures, maybe even less in some cases, you can get them recalled. With the mayor,
well, the referendum, you know, the referendum on the city charter says it requires 20%
of the voters.
And I know they
that
put
district.
That they as a district. It required 20% of that district to. I think there's a cap off number or a certain amount of numbers you had to have. The 20% or a certain amount of number. I forgot what it was, but either way, yeah. At it, it's at an inflatable number that they know they're well protected behind it. Okay. They're well protected there. It's just not that many people don't vote, and that's something else I yell. Let's redo the charter, okay? Let's take it down to where with 1% can remove you from office, okay? You're putting in two council members on the strength of less than 1%. Let's remove you at 1%, okay? And that would make it down to 1,000 signatures, and that would be a job. It'd still be a job to get 1,000 signatures, okay? And if you got 1,000 signatures, it'd be worthwhile to put that person back on the ballot and see if they need to be voted out, I would think. But I don't know. Like I said, there's
but
other things to at large that might be that's bad, and maybe other things that are good. I don't know yet.
But don't think, you know, that you're don't think that what you guys do at City Hall, they're taking away the public speaking for a reason, and that's because it's having an impact. And they're looking for every way that they can to shut down dissidents. But you guys keep pushing, keep showing up, because the foundation under this house of cards is cracking, and they know it.
I hope so. I hope so. We need to crack. We need to turn this ship around, because we're on the Titanic, I think, and we need to kind of turn it around for future generations to come to leave a better place than what we, you know, have it, to start leaving it better than that. So. But yeah, but that's it. That's the key thing. Communication is what they shut down from us. It's communications how they keep people down from knowing what's going on. That's what we're going to try to open up. And then so, well, Chris,
I'm
I appreciate you
off,
being
y'all.
On. Okay, I appreciate your time and everything. Okay, thanks for coming on.
All right, later.
All right, and Adrian.
I'm still here, Bob, hanging out.
You're still here hanging on. Okay, I think Jennifer, she must have been out. I hope she feels okay. I hope we didn't cut her out of anything too much. I thought I was pretty open with her and everything, I hope. But anyway, maybe she did get to come on and say what she was running for and everything, and I'm hoping it's, you know, helpful. And we're getting closer. We got about 2 minutes left in the show here.
Hey, Bob, do me a favor, Bob. I need you to...
What's that?
When you get off, email me those dates for these upcoming forums that pertain to the ones you spoke of, your district and
the ones I just read off here. Let's see. The Hanley, April 13th.
No, email.
I know. I'm just doing it anyway.
Hey, okay. Yeah. April, go ahead, Bob. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, because some people go back to the podcast and may listen to it. A lot of people do go to these podcasts sometimes later. You know, I can go back and look and see where a lot of people have tuned into them afterwards. But yeah, by the time they turn into this one, though, these days they'll be gone. Oh, well, we're down to 90 seconds left. So I'll email them to you is what I'll do. And I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate Jennifer coming on. I don't know what happened to Mr. Bowman. He did not respond tonight to come on. So that, and we know what happened with Allison. We hope everything's okay with her family and hope that's not a bad thing or anything that can't be taken care of. We hope very much so. So, but okay, well, we're going to wrap it up right about here, and looking forward to doing some more shows and the midterm elections and stuff like that. Any propositions on the ballot that we can talk about, and maybe some special shows along the way. I think our county judge Tim O'Hara is willing to come on in several months from now. We may have him come on and give us an update about that. So, okay, we'll see how the election comes out. Election day is May the 6th. I hope everybody gets out and votes for me. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, vote for who you think's best for the office, okay? I want you to learn about them, and don't listen to these endorsements. Think for yourself. God gave you a brain to use it, okay? Adrian, have a wonderful night. I appreciate you being on here with me. I appreciate Jennifer coming on, okay? And we'll talk to
you
all later on.
If not before.
Okay, see you Tuesday. Take care. Bye-bye.
If not before. Peace out.
All right. All right. Good night, everybody.